Mark chapter 6, I'm going to be reading from verses 30 through to 56. The apostles gathered round Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leave and recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so the disciples came to him. "This is the remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." They said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 150s, taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. Looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. So he also divided the 2 fish among them all. They all ate and were satisfied. And his disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of men who had eaten was 5,000. Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida, where he dismissed the crowd. After leaving them, he went up to a mountainside to pray. When evening came, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. About the 4th watch of the night, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them when they saw him walking on the lake, and they thought it was a ghost. They cried out because they saw all they saw and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed, for they had not understood about the loaves in their heart, and their hearts were hardened. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was, and wherever he went into villages and towns or countrysides, they placed the sick on the marketplaces. They begged him to let him touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. Just pray for Graham now as he comes. Lord, thank you for this reading. Lord, thank you for your word. We ask now for Graham as he comes to share your word. Lord, speak to us. Lord, empower him and help him. Lord, we ask now in your name.
I'd like to start this morning with a sort of joke stroke anecdote that I heard on Radio 4, Thought for the Day in the Week. And it went something like this. "Our profession must be the oldest profession," said the architects. "For our earliest ancestor saw a cave and thought that would be a good place to live. And we've carried on finding and designing buildings for us to shelter in ever since. Ours is the oldest profession." "Rubbish!" shouted the gardeners. "Adam was around long before man needed to go in a cave and shelter, and he was busy tending the garden. Ours is the oldest profession." "Hold on a minute. Long before there was the order of the garden, there was chaos, and there's none as good as us politicians to bring about chaos." It stuck with me all week, really, that little story. And I've been thinking about it in lots of different ways. And obviously we brought about the chaos, didn't we? Adam sinned. Everything was perfect before Adam sinned. But he broke that connection with God, and everything was in chaos, if you like. Broken, disconnected, separated from the love of God. And so I've been thinking about that. And then we sing that song, we sang it on Thursday night with Prayer for Easton here. He brings our chaos back into order. He makes us sons and daughters. And I was thinking about it in relation to this passage and everything as well. I'm thinking about how we've been going through Mark and all the way we've seen in Mark, especially that Jesus comes in and into a situation, and the situation is dealt with, is met. It's very action-packed, Mark. Take today when we're going to look at the feeding of the 5,000. It says that it sort of happened, didn't it? You know, there it is, and it happened. Whereas you go to John's Gospel and you find a big discourse about how Jesus is the true bread, the manna come down from heaven. But in Mark, you get the feeding, and then they're moving on to something else. But each time, Jesus is acting in the reality of where people are. That's what I want to sort of just think about as we go along. That he's met us with our deepest need, our sin, and he's forgiven our sin. But he meets us in our daily lives, in the realities of where we are. And he meets with us to, well, supply what is ever needed, really. So let's just think about where we're in chapter 6. Thank you for reading the passage. And it starts off, doesn't it? It says, the apostles gathered together with Jesus and they reported to him all that they had done. Because this bit is actually following on from verse 13. We've had a sort of bit put in by Mark all about John the Baptist's death. But really, the verse is following on from Jesus had sent the 12 out. They'd gone and they'd preached that men should repent, and they were casting out demons and were anointing many people, sick people, and healing them. And when and the apostles gathered together with Jesus and to tell him all that they'd done. And Jesus straight away says to them, let's go away somewhere. Because he was a bit worried about for them that they were tired, that they were rather excited. They were in a position where stuff had been happening and people, you know, had responded to the commission that Jesus had given them. And Jesus thought that they needed to come apart a little bit and settle down, lest they think it was all to do with them and things like that. So he's taken them away to rest. There's a saying, isn't there? Come apart and rest, lest you just come apart. And some of us need to hear that. Come apart and rest. Come apart. Take time to be with Jesus from the busyness of life and service and such like. So that's the first little point. Come apart and rest, lest you just come apart. And then it moves into, it didn't work, did it? They all raced round to the other side of the lake, and all the people were there, even before they got out the boat, clamouring. And Jesus looked at them, and it says he had compassion. Disembarking, he saw great multitude, and he felt compassion for them. If it was me, I would have probably thought that the people were just rather a nuisance in the way of what I was wanting to get on and be doing. But not Jesus. Something's interrupted what they were going to be doing, going apart with his apostles. But straight away, Jesus looks and has compassion on the crowd. And there's a lesson for us to learn there. When things sort of come into our lives, sometimes we just want to brush them all away, out of the way, people and stuff like, because we want to get on with what we're doing. And we need to ask the Lord to help us to have compassion and respond to people's needs. And he began to teach them many things. And then when it was quite late, so he talked quite a lot, but Mark doesn't really put any of it in. It's just moving on with the action again. And his disciples came to him and said, it's rather desolate, it's very late, and they've got nothing to send them away so that they can go into the countryside and buy themselves something to eat. And Jesus said, you give them something. We'll come back to that later. And all they had was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he commanded them all to recline by groups on the green grass, and they reclined in companies of hundreds and fifties. And he took the loaves and the 2 fish, and he blessed the food, broke the loaves, and he kept giving them. A marvellous miracle, isn't it? He kept giving them. They were 5, now there's, I don't know how many, some people reckon there might have been 10 to 20,000 people. It's the only, apart from the resurrection, it's only the only miracle that's in all 4 Gospels in such detail. So it was a great statement of who Jesus was, really, and he explains more of that in John's Gospel, like we're saying, where he talks about being the true bread of life. And that's for another day. But it's showing God, Jesus, that he was God, really. Only God could make something out of nothing, multiply it, feed all the people there. And he's always more than enough for what you need. It says that they all ate and they were all satisfied. No matter our need, our want, Jesus is more than sufficient to not only meet it, but to lavish upon us even more. Because that's what God is like. Jesus asks all of us to come to him and eat and be satisfied. Come and taste and see how good the Lord is. Ho, everybody who thirsts, come without money. Come and eat and drink and be satisfied. Jesus meets us where we are and is more than sufficient to supply all that we need. And there were 5,000 men who ate of the loaves. And then immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side of Bethsaida, while he himself was sending the multitude away. And after bidding them farewell, he went up the mountain to pray. So he's taking time aside himself. But while it was evening and the boat was out in the midst of the sea, a storm blew up. Quite a storm. And they were rowing hard and straining at the oars. And they were out there for quite a long while, because it says it was the 3rd watch of the night. No, 4th watch of the night, sorry. I think that's something like 3 in the morning to 6 sort of thing. So they'd been out there rowing for quite a while, and they were straining at the oars. Jesus was away praying. And I expect they thought they were, you know, having to make their way through the storm. But Jesus, it says he saw them. He came to them, walking on the sea, and intended to pass them by. But they were frightened, and immediately he spoke. They thought he was a ghost. He said, no, it's not, it's me. It's I, don't be afraid. And he got into the boat and the wind stopped and they were greatly astonished. It's funny really that they keep getting astonished by these things, because it was only a chapter or so back where he'd stilled another storm that they were involved in. That it's sort of like they don't get it all and take it all the time with them. They forget. Sometimes we can feel that we're out there on our own, and that Jesus isn't with us sometimes in the stuff we go through. I don't say this lightly. I don't mean to make light of our trials and that we go through. But it's easy to think that, you know, we're struggling through all on our own. And Jesus is always watching, always present, even when sometimes we don't realise. And there's a strange passage in, I was thinking about this the other day, but there's a strange passage in Joshua, well, not passage, but a strange verse, where they're going through the Jordan River. The tribe of Israel are going to pass through the Jordan and go on into the land. And the priests go into the river, and the water all piles up to the side, and everybody passes over. And Joshua tells them to get 12 stones and stick them up on the other side, so that when people ask later, what are those stones about, you can tell them how God delivered them. And then there's a strange bit where it says, and then he told them to take 12 more stones and go back into the river and put them where the priests were standing. Some Bibles leave that passage out because they think it's sort of odd. And I'm not saying I know exactly what it means or anything like that, but I did feel God speaking to me that sometimes it's in the midst of the thing that you're passing through that you need to be trusting and praising God. People don't always see that. Later on, the waters covered those stones back over, never seen again. And perhaps it's the trusting and the praising God in the tough times that actually help us to go through the tough times as well. It can become a strength. It's not always easy, and we get it wrong, don't we? But even when we're faithless, He is faithful. And He's with us in the midst of all that we go through. But they got frightened, didn't they, when he came out? They thought he was a ghost. And he had to reassure them. Sometimes, when, especially if we're new to faith, or new to discovering Jesus, He can seem... not frightening, but you know what I mean, a bit disconcerting. I can remember when I was, the Lord was first after me. I didn't grow up in church or anything. I told you people this before, but a chappie I met, the way he acted at school just made me want to know why. And then I met all the people that he went to church with. And God began to sort of draw me in, sort of, I didn't challenge me. And all those people were perfect in any way at all. In fact, nowhere near. But they still had a new and had met with Jesus. And I can remember during that time, my mum and dad ran in a pub. And I'd been, a few of us, in fact, because God did quite a lot of work at that time. Quite a few people in my school got saved and all sorts of things. So there was quite a lot going on. And we'd meet in the pub. And we'd have the Bibles out in the pub, looking in the pub, and going and telling people that they really needed to respond to this, when we hadn't even responded it to ourselves. And during that time, you thought, this Jesus, he's a bit disconcerting. He's a bit challenging. He's a bit, well, I didn't think he was a ghost, but you know what I mean? He seems not quite what you might need at that time, but it wasn't. It was God through His word and that. Just stirring you up and challenging you to respond. And we've been thinking about that all the way through this, these talks. Who is this Jesus? How do we respond to Him? What do we do with Him? And there's a bit in C.S. Lewis, and I paraphrase this, where Aslan is like a type of Jesus, isn't he? Aslan the lion. And somebody said, one of the children, I say, is he a tame lion? And they go, tame? Of course he's not tame. But he is good. And that's what Jesus is like. You can trust Him with your life, because He's good. But he's not tame. And sometimes it can be a bit challenging to go where Jesus wants us to go. And then the thing that I wanted to say really this morning as well, and we've already, Alan's already raised it really in that reading of those two hymns, especially the one about serving. It's the thing I want us to notice is that Jesus said, you give them something to eat. You. Philip reacted. He said, well, we ain't got enough money to go and buy a tiny bit of food, and we'll never feed all of them. But you give them something to eat. They'd just been before out doing what Jesus has sent them out to do, hadn't he? Where they were feeding the people, if you like, with his word. But you give them something to eat. And that's a challenge to us. That we take the little we have, which is good and acceptable and perfect. The little we have can be used by God. And you say, well, that's all right, maybe for, I don't know, think of some great Christian leader or something. But it's not what, you know, I'm not good enough for anything like that. I'm too spoiled. He might nullify the things that are, so that nobody can boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And that's a challenge, isn't it? Both individually and as a church. For us to give them something to eat. And we need to learn how to do that in the area where we are, in the daily lives that we have as individuals, but also as a body, as a church here, to the people that we serve in this community. And hopefully we can trust God that he will help us in that and show us how to progress, if you like. And then it says that when they crossed over, so they've only just got there, it's early in the morning, as soon as they come out of the boat, the people suddenly recognise him, they all come running from everywhere around, and they start all over again. And they treated him that they might just touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were cured. And they didn't have another moment to do something else before people were coming again. And ministry leads to ministry, if you like. Service leads to service. And we should be finding ourselves hard-pressed on every side, if you like. Don't forget to come apart and rest. But know that what little God has given to you, he can use mightily if we just give it back to him and trust him. And, like we've touched on as well, I'll touch on it again, it's in the difficult times, in the hard times. When it's hard sometimes to know that he's with you, let's ask him to help us to really trust in those times and praise him in those times, that he will deliver us in the end. He's a good God. Taste and see how good our God can be. And we're going to sing a song to finish. We're going to sing, I Believe in Jesus. And I believe that he's here now. And he can touch us now. And meet us now in our need. If you feel like you want somebody to pray for you, ask them. Ask somebody to. They'd be more than willing. And let's just, as we finish, let's do what we've been talking about different weeks. Let's meet with Jesus. Amen.